Just now, I had a very good question, and I think it's worth just taking up this question that I was just asked. Amy was asking, well, you know, I said I have no difficulty saying I'm a sinner saved by grace. And Amy was saying, well, is that really how Christians should view themselves? And I can see that in one way, the most common word for a believer in the Bible, in the New Testament, is not sinner, it's saint. And maybe by what I was saying earlier, I was putting the emphasis a little too far that way, that we are no longer sinners as such, we are saints. And the word saint is, of course, a holy one. I mean, the reason I actually said that was because I am aware that of the danger of going too far and saying I am sinless. That's the point that I have no problem saying. If I said I'm a sinner saved by grace, I have no problem saying that. And John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And there's all that truth. But the truth is actually, as Amy says, the emphasis in the New Testament is that we are made holy by the blood. And I guess that's where we need our faith to be, is the power of the blood to make us clean and keep us clean. We are not saved because we get holy enough to be saved, because that would mean that at some point I would say, well, Lord, I'm holy now, I don't need forgiveness. And the Lord could say, well, you don't know what the day will bring. And you don't even know how to measure your holiness, whether you are sinner. You don't know. You need grace to cover your sins, and you don't even know when you sin sometimes. Sins of ignorance, sins of omission, not just sins of commission, but sins of omission, where things you haven't prayed enough during the day. So you don't always know. But the emphasis of the New Testament is that the blood of Jesus makes us clean and keeps us clean. So thank you for that, Amy. And let's move on now to the sixth point here on our list, which is the blood provides eternal security. This is verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, this is the truth, and it's repeated in verse 12, that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And that's the eternal power of the blood. This is not power just for this life. It's eternal power. We have eternal security. The word eternal security, sometimes people get a bit worried. They say, does that mean that you can't fall away? Of course, the Bible holds these two truths. If you continue trusting, then nothing can take you out of the hands of God. But if you stop trusting, that's a different issue. Of course, you can turn your back on Christ, and we've seen that. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what I do, I've got eternal security. No, it means if I keep trusting Christ, I have eternal security. And it's one of the warnings of Hebrews. Keep on going on. Keep trusting Christ. Keep pressing forward. And as you do, you have eternal security. You know this blood will keep you eternally pure. The seventh point here on my list is in verse... I actually haven't put the verse down there on this thing, but in the notes. But in verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, here you've got the truth that the blood is a doorway into another dimension. When we look at the context of chapter 9 and 10, the context is the tabernacle. Now, if I said, Here on the 30th floor, we've got a secret room. Nobody can go in there except top people. I've got a pass. Jeremiah hasn't got a pass. Vicky has been in there once. You know, and there's only about three of us have really seen inside this secret room. Then you're, whoa, where is this secret room? And people don't even know where the door is. We keep that a secret too. And, this is about a secret room, but it's not secret in terms of exclusivity. This isn't for a select few. This is an exclusive room for all of God's people, if I can put it that way. So it's not exclusive in the sense of it's not excluding people, just a special few. No, it's for all. But it is exclusive in this sense that it is for God's people. Sinners, unbelievers, don't even know this place exists. It's really the place of God's intimate presence. You can describe it through the presence, and you can describe it through the word glory. But the truth is, there is a secret room, and it hasn't got a door like made of wood or anything like that. The door is the blood. The door is the body of Christ. And the way you handle the door handle is by faith. And when you by faith press into this room, you enter a sense, a very strong sense of the presence of God. Now, this is not something you are to accept just by faith. We know that people say, well, we accept this by faith, and that's that. We know that's true. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's faith. Yes and no. What's the point of another room if you can't experience it? What's the point of heavenly places if you can never know what it's like to be in heavenly places? What's the point of knowing that there's another dimension of prayer, a holiest place, if you can't consciously enter it? When we talk about this, we are also... Let me ask you this question. This is it's a similar question. The gift of the Holy Spirit is an essential gift. When we talk about the gift of the Spirit being something we must receive, people get a bit worried. They think, when you say we must receive the Holy Spirit, what do you mean? Can we be saved without the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, you can. But if you said, can I own a car and not put petrol in it? I'd say, well, yeah, you can. But what's the point of owning a car and not putting petrol in it? Now, is it possible to be saved and not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, of course, the man who died beside Christ on the cross, yes. Zacchaeus was before the baptism. Yes, yes. The people in Samaria, they were saved. Then they received the Holy Spirit. It happened in heaven. Yeah, you can see all that. But the point is, it really is like having a car and not putting petrol in the tank. You were saved, and then the normal thing is you receive the Holy Spirit. So we need to receive the Holy Spirit. We can't really experience the glory and the wonder of this covenant without receiving the baptism in the Spirit. In fact, the baptism in the Spirit is an essential part of this covenant. Now, the second point there is that we can know we have received the Holy Spirit. Experientially, if I have received the Holy Spirit by a kind of faith which says, well, I haven't felt anything, noticed any difference, or nothing's really happened, but I believe the Holy Spirit's in me by faith, and that's how it is, and I'm baptized by faith, then I would say, well, if the Holy Spirit left you, how would you know?